Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's time for 5 on it. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody at Hallis Hall. Question number 1. Can the Chicago Cubs win the World Series?
It's probably not happening.
Dang.
I'm sorry to be that person. I know you make it to the playoffs and then anything can happen. Prove me wrong. But in a National League that we know is absolutely stacked with talent, I said this before and I'll say it again. Typically, you want to be able to time out slumps when it comes to hitting. And when more teams have hitters who can be more consistent as a team to go from point A to B, which is getting a win, than your team has, then that's usually the answer. It can't be the Pirates in the first round of the playoffs. You can't keep playing the same teams that help you win these games.
That would be helpful, the Pirates.
Would be helpful if the Pirates were magically a playoff team and the Cubs could sweep them in a playoff. That doesn't mean that it can't happen. But in the playoffs, then you're asking for that same result of chance to happen over and over again. And I mentioned the 2018 Nationals. People forget that was one of the career years for Max Scherzer, for example. At that point, they still had Juan Soto. So when you put all of that together and consider what they did have to make it out of the wild card at the time, and they didn't have to play a multiple game series, then that explanation gets a little bit easier. But has the playoff changed, as we've pointed out? Yes. And that means you need more talent up and down your lineup and in your pitching staff. And unfortunately, when we have more questions and answers about some of these guys, thrilled they've made it into the playoffs. We still don't know what's going on with Kyle Tucker. So all of that said, World Series to me is not a likely possibility.
I think it can happen. I think they can.
Yeah, it can happen.
Yeah, wasn't that the question? Did I read the question wrong?
First question here on 5 on it. Can the Cubs win the World Series?
Yeah, can the Cubs? Yeah, theoretically. But is that, that's not really your take, though.
No. I'm saying the Cubs can win the World Series, and here's why.
The Bears can win the Super Bowl. That is a possibility.
No. Let me just. Those are two very different things. First of all, to win the Super Bowl or to win the World Series, you have to make the playoffs. The Bears, probably not making the playoffs. The Cubs, they are in the tournament. They will play for a chance to survive and advance a 3-game series. And I think, as I look around the league, I know a lot of people are saying the Dodgers are the Dodgers. Yes, they are. But I've seen the Dodgers lose in the playoffs before when they were favorites. I like this idea that the Padres catch the Dodgers. Because if that happens, you get the Dodgers at your place for 3 games. And if you can't win a 3-game series against the Dodgers with all the games at your place, you weren't going to win anyway.
Let's be realistic here. The ace of your playoff rotation can only throw 75 to 80 pitches at a time. That's all he's allowed to do.
How many pitches do you think the Dodgers pitchers are going to be throwing?
It doesn't. The amount of arms that they have outweighs the amount of Cubs trusted arms.
Listen, I'm very interested to find out what would happen if the Dodgers and the Cubs play in a short series. So, yes, the Cubs can win the World Series if Kyle Tucker comes back. If Kyle Tucker comes back and is healthy. Now, he can't come back game one of the playoffs. He needs to probably come back a couple of games in the regular season just to get the rust off.
See how you already have to qualify? That's why I said
what
I said.
If he wasn't hurt.
But all of it. You see how many ifs and buts and candy and nuts just had to occur there?
Yes. Thank you for taking me back to middle school with that one.
Number two.
Well, here's a question that's making me sad and giving me September stress personally as a Cubs fan. Is left-hander Matthew Boyd pitching his way out of the playoff rotation?
Unfortunately, the answer to that might be yes. You know, that might be a case where he becomes a long relief guy because his ERA for the month of September is 6. And that's a problem. And unfortunately, it was one that really started to show itself, I'd say, in the last half of last month. You know, he started out the month facing the Orioles where he gave up 0 runs. Then it was 3 to the St. Louis Cardinals, 2 to the Toronto Blue Jays. That was a 2-1 loss that I wish the Cubs could have gotten. 6-4 win. He gave up all 4 earned runs in that one. At San Francisco in a 5-2 loss, he gave up 5 earned runs. And in a 6-5 loss to Colorado on the 31st of August, he had given up 4. You see where the mistakes are. And unfortunately, I think there also might be some fatigue there. He is 34 years old. So that might be the case. I'd rather have this pattern emerge now than later so you can figure it out for the future. But there has to be some sort of addressing of what he's going to bring to your team at what times in the playoffs.
Only once has Matthew Boyd thrown more than the 174 and a third innings that he's already thrown this season in a regular season. That was back in 2019 in Detroit when he threw 185 and a third innings. Now, the difference between those 2 years is back in 2019, he led the American League in home runs given up with 39. He's only given up 18 bombs this year. His whip is 1.107. But here's why I don't think he's necessarily pitching himself out of the playoff rotation. It comes down to this. Home, away, splits. At home, Matthew Boyd is 11-1 with a 2.45 ERA. Away, he's 2-7 with a 3.90 ERA. At home, batting average against is 215. OPS against is 597. Away, that batting average against rises to 259 with an OPS, 718. It's a little too high. Where are the Cubs playing if things ended today? Where would they be playing their first 3 games? Wrigley, where Matthew Boyd is much, much better. So that's why I think Craig Counsell, based on what I've seen from him, I believe that he would let Matthew Boyd still be one of the playoff guys. Now, if not him, then Jameson Taillon, depending on what he does here in the last 10 games, could overtake him. But I see Matthew Boyd right now as being the guy.
Number three.
Third question here on 5 on It with Raheemy Harrison Grody, Mark Grody, Hal Saul. He'll be here at 125. Who will miss more games after today? Cubs outfielder Kyle Tucker or Bears cornerback Jalen Johnson?
The key word here is games. Not time. Games.
There's 10 games left in the regular season for the Cubs. There are 15 games left in the regular season for the Bears. Now, Jalen Johnson has not been ruled out, but obviously if he has surgery, he's gone for the season. So that means he's missing the next 15 games. The Cubs would have to end this season without Kyle Tucker and then play a division round without Kyle Tucker. But here's the rub on this question. If Kyle Tucker has played his last game as a Cub,
that's a problem.
Then Jalen Johnson would be the first one back.
That's a real problem, if that's the case.
A real problem or a real possibility or both?
I don't think it's necessarily a possibility yet because it's still a calf issue. Like he has symptoms while running. He did go to Tampa. A Cubs personnel went with him to go.
Does that make you feel better?
PT. Yeah, because you know why? We're not talking about somebody's muscle detaching from his body like what happened with Jalen Johnson. It didn't escape his body like through his leg like Alien or something. But it did detach from his pelvis. That's when the word detach is used, I've got much bigger problems.
Remember when he said it wasn't as bad as it sounds? Do you remember when he said that?
Yeah, and then what happened?
Yeah, it was bad.
His first game back, he had to leave. And now he may never be back this season.
Different area.
So, yeah, but still.
But yeah, I think it's going to be back quicker as Kyle Tucker.
In the words of John Fox, it's all a problem when it comes to Jalen Johnson's muscles right now.
It's all a problem.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I think it's still Jalen Johnson because I don't I don't see him walking through that door. And I think Kyle Tucker's injury still sounds less bad.
If you're Kyle Tucker, why come back if you have this massive contract that is looming? And let's say for a chance he comes back and he does re-aggravate it and he just sees millions and millions taken off of whatever potential contract. Like, for me, if I'm a Cubs fan, I'm worried Kyle Tucker just never comes back.
Or tears his Achilles, because that's what calf injuries tend to lead to if you try to push it.
I just want to make note that I did not say that. That was Marshall Harris that put that out there into the universe.
Wait, Robbie put the question to me. I'm just saying that's what calf injuries lead to.
And Kyle Tucker goes home. That's where, like, I have an alarm bell. Like, it's like, oh, I think we may have seen the last of Kyle Tucker as a Chicago
Cub. If we've seen the last of Kyle Tucker as a Chicago Cub, we also need to talk about whether or not the trade was even successful. I think the issue becomes it's a contract year for him, and I think he wasn't happy with the amount of games he played in Houston last year. I think that's why there were so many reports about whether or not he wanted to talk about the severity of the injury. I think that was an issue here. He wanted to play. That was pretty obvious. Even to other managers, it was obvious, like Pat Murphy, when it came to him trying to play through pain. He's doing that because he wants to show that even when he's not 100%, that he was still going to mean more to a team. And that translates into whatever happens for him next. But here's the issue. None of that necessarily matters when it comes to how baseball players get paid at that level. The only thing that really matters is whether or not Steve Cohen thinks you're worth $500 million. And if he does, then that becomes the price.
It's a very specific name.
Number four.
What did you think of this response from Bears coach Ben Johnson when asked about having to talk to Fox analyst Tom Brady in production meetings in preparation for the broadcast of Sunday's game against the Cowboys?
Like I said, I'm really not worried about it. I mean, we change week to week in terms of what we do. Schematically, he's going to be able to turn on the tape and see what everyone else in the world's seeing right now. Personnel-wise, really the same thing. It's not like I'm going to sit down with him and tell, hey, don't do this to Caleb Williams or you might get it. Like, I'm not going to, there's not going to be any trade secrets that are going to be exchanged. But I really don't think it's that big of a deal, to be honest with you.
Layla, Marshall, your thoughts?
I think Ben Johnson is right in assuming people's intelligence. I think it's really silly when coaches think that there's no way you could possibly know what they're going to do in a game, so they don't let anybody watch practice. On the flip side of that, you have Jerry Jones literally selling tickets to go watch practice, so he doesn't care as long as you want to pay. I think Ben Johnson is in the middle. Ben Johnson's like, hey, this isn't really that big of a deal because, well, you know tape. You watch ball. You can also pay $100 for the NFL Plus, where you can see the all 22. So, given all of those things, I think it's the right thing to say. Number one, it's diplomatic to somebody who is clearly important to the NFL. But number two, I think he probably knows that if I go by the operation of if I'm thinking about it, the Bears are thinking about it too, or have thought about it. If I've thought about it, the Cubs have thought about it too. I typically take that approach. Doing it and thinking about it are two different things. So I feel like he probably feels the same way about Tom Brady.
I hope you're right about the Bears, but I generally don't believe that about the Bears, that if I've thought about it, they've thought about it based on how recent seasons and organizationally things have gone. But with Ben Johnson, you're thinking you have a smarter leader now in the building. So if he's not worried about it, I get it, because he's thinking, yes, Tom Brady has a certain level of intelligence. He's going to do what he does anyway, but I am also smart. So I'm going to have myself, my staff, and my players do things the way I want them done, so as to avoid any problems with Tom Brady being so doggone smart and having access to us this week.
Number five.
Five Line continues on 670 The Score. Here's our final question. According to a report by the Sports Business Journal, the WNBA regular season finished with a year-over-year viewership increase across ABC, ESPN, CBS, and NBA TV. This despite Fever star Caitlin Clark missing most of the regular season. You don't say. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, what do you have to say about this?
Yeah, more people watch women's sports than you think. And this isn't even the audience to prove that to, because if you're listening to this show, whether or not you want to admit it, you're a little bit progressive in your thought pattern, because Marshall and I are not typically who people think of when they think of talk radio. So we're probably preaching to the choir to a certain extent, but just look at how we had 7 Sky games this year. That's 7 more than we had last year on 670 The Score. It's not just a one-player league. Does that mean you can't watch because your favorite player plays? No. Watch your favorite player. Everybody wants to know who to cheer for and everything. That's why at the Olympics, for example, they tell you who to cheer for. You're not watching the trials necessarily leading up. If you are, you're a real one. But you want to know who to cheer for. So the Caitlin Clark fans, yes, cheer for Caitlin Clark. That's awesome. Her team is fun to watch, regardless of whether or not she's in it. It's more fun when she's playing. But that's a well-built team. People like watching basketball. People like watching good basketball. There are many different ways to be a fan of many different teams and leagues. But the idea that your individual habits apply to everybody else, when there are more people living in this country than ever before, to the tune of over 330 million, you can't take a 1980s view to how people consume media in 2025. You can't even take a 2025 view. And extrapolate it to 2030. You can't say that we watch media the same way as we did in 2020. So all of that said, there's room for everybody. I know this might shock you, but I truly believe that.
All right, so there's a caveat here. Keep in mind that the viewership figures are based on Nielsen's new Big Data Plus panel measurement. That combines the existing panel-only viewership with data from smart TVs and set-top boxes. Under Nielsen policy, networks are to compare this year's Big Data Plus panel figures to last year's panel-only data. That alone could account for this year's slight increase. But outside of that, take into account this. The WNBA regular season games averaged 969,000 viewers across the league's primary Nielsen-rated networks. That's ABC, ESPN, CBS, and ION. That's up 3% from last year, and it's the highest average since 1998. Do you know where the games were airing that year? NBC, ESPN, and Lifetime. So we've come a long way any way you want to slice it or dice it.
Listen here. Have I watched a movie called Psycho Realtor after watching something else on Lifetime?
Oh, no.
Well, yes, I have. I will fall into that trap. I will watch a Grey's Anatomy rerun every now and then. But I also watch Spike TV. Will I watch John Taffer come into a bar and tell everybody to shut it down, even though I know it's coming every episode?
Is that Bar Rescue?
Yes. Yes, I will. And the point is, people have range.
That is Bar Rescue you're referring to, right?
Yeah, every time. He's
I've been on an episode of Bar
Rescue. This is unacceptable. Shut it down.
Wait, what?
Marshall, please tell the story time you were on Bar Rescue.
I was on Bar Rescue. I had a date, and my buddy owned a bar in Philadelphia, Swanky Bubbles. It was an old city.
You took a girl to Swanky Bubbles?
I did take a girl to Swanky Bubbles. Have you ever been to Swanky Bubbles?
I have not.
Okay, It's a cool like Asian fusion place. I'm sorry. It was.
Shut it down.
It got shut down.
You know how the episode's going to go.
And he was like, oh, by the way, Bar Rescue's filming. I was like, wait, what? And we already had our reservations. And I was like, do you want to go? And she was like, yeah, sure. So we went and like, I forgot about it. We went, had a good time. Great meal. He was sending us all kinds of food. And then like maybe 3-4 months later, my buddy texted me. He's like, hey, you're on Bar Rescue? I was like, I forgot about that. And this is before our current setup where you could just get a clip and whatever. So I had to wait for the actual episode to come on. And then I recorded it to see what all happened. I had quite a prominent role in like, you know, interaction. It was fun. They didn't pay you? No. It was really funny.
Well, you just gave me a chore. I am going to hunt down this film and then I'm going to bring this to the audience of 670.
I don't think there's any audio.
I've known you for 11 years now, and this is the first time.
I don't think there's audio though. I think it's just a whole bunch of cameos.
I'm going to make some audio.
Are you going to do it the way you created the inside the locker room?
Yeah,
open?
Exactly. Yes, I'm going to AI it.
Hold on. We had John Taffer in our system.
Oh, shut it down.
Congratulations. You've seen every episode of Bar Rescue. Will I still watch the next one? You betcha.
Shut it down.
And that's why it's okay for everybody to watch everything. And even if you don't, somebody else does.
Oh, me.
What? I don't even know where to... Oh, Jared Payton is next, isn't he? Let's talk to Jared Payton. He'll get us back on track. Bears, and we also have to ask him about being an honorary captain a couple weeks ago as well.
At the season opener, it was great.
We have Jared Payton next on Raheem Harrison Grody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Jarrett Payton.
My name is Jarrett Payton, and I am here to motivate you today.
Former NFL running back.
Jarrett Payton wearing his father's number, number 34, and looking like the old man. Look at this run. A gorgeous job by Jarrett Payton.
The son of sweetness.
There's Walter with his Cubs jacket on, and here he comes up. His son Jarrett is with him. Sweetness. What an
sports anchor for WGN.
You know me. I'm the resident running back.
Jarrett Payton with Raheemy Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Uncle Luke got me hooked on Hennessy, so thank you to Uncle Luke.
You got to let the bass drop before you bring in Jarrett Payton.
That brown liquor's just marinating. Let the brown liquor marinate.
Let it sweep over you. Let it remind us all that we are not in our 20s anymore.
That's for sure.
Jared is always like, how do you not smile when we bring you in with local Uncle Luke, Jarrett Payton? He joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. And he's on twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Oh, I love that we're letting it play. This takes me back.
Takes me back too, Layla. Oh, man. You guys, I can see it. I can see the smile on Marshall's face. It takes me back to that moment, man, when, you know, meeting Uncle Luke for the first time. And I just, that moment when I saw that bottle of Hennessy on the table of the establishment I was at, I was like, oh, I've never seen brown liquor before.
Oh, my goodness.
What does this taste like? Go ahead.
No, I just wonder if, like, is he exactly like how you would think he is?
Yes. Exactly. And for a kid growing up, you know, loving hip hop and, you know, Two Live Crew, all that stuff, like, you knew what it was all about, man. You knew what he was about. But also, too, being at the University of Miami on my visit, it was an odd feeling because I didn't think I was going to see him. And being here in Chicago, you're used to seeing, like, you know, sports stars, but not like, being a big music head, you're not thinking you're going to see like somebody who you have their CD or your cassette tape back in those days, right? And just showed up and showed a lot of love. And anytime that I see him now, still, I remember when that actually happened, he actually hit me up on Instagram and was like, yo, why'd you have to tell the story? And I thought he was mad at me at first. and then we started talking and it ended up being okay. So we're good.
Hold on. Uncle Luke saw you tell... At the time, it was Lawrence and me. Uncle Luke saw our clip.
Yes, he saw the clip.
Luther Campbell.
He saw the clip, and it just because through my social media, through Instagram, and saw that, and then hit me up. Was like, "Yo, why are you telling all the secrets?" And I was like, "Uh oh, I'm in trouble." I was like, that's such a long time ago. I do remember, but it's such a long time ago. Like, I should be able to tell the story now. But cool moment. Glad to be a part of the U. And he's a part of that U legacy. So I'm cool. It's awesome.
Trying to play it off. And I appreciate that. You were talking about the brown liquor, though. I feel like a lot of Bears fans right now have been driven to drink their favorite whatever. Because things are not looking good right now, Jarrett.
No, not at all, Marshall. I mean, this is where we're at right now. I think the expectations were so high, right? Just because of this new regime and everything, all the vibes that were coming in once Ben Johnson got the job and all the things that were being said. I think the hardest part was is that in some ways, even with the additions through free agency, Some of us were just blinded by, a lot of us were blinded by this roster. And I said it on Mullion Hall on Tuesday. Like, it's just, it's not good enough when you start looking at where the other good teams are around the league. And I think that takes time. And I was a big person that was preaching that from the beginning of, like, don't start thinking about playoffs. Don't start thinking about all these other things. Just, this thing is going to be a process, and it's going to take some time. The time in my heart and in my mind is probably not what, you know, Bears fans want to hear, but that's a part of this process. When you get a first-time head coach, you still have a second-year quarterback that's still trying to find his way and make progress. And I know things can be flipped around in an off season, but we have to be truly honest. To me, the build sustained success, you had to build through the draft, and it can't just be through like free agency. That's not really going to last. It has to be through draft picks, and you see the good teams, like the team up north. That's how they've done it, and the reason why they're one of the teams being talked about is Super Bowl contenders, and they do it the right way. It's got the pieces have to be start being put together a little bit better.
This is Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. Jarrett Payton is joining us. And Jarrett, as a former football player yourself, as somebody who knows how long it can take, what is that time for you? And what does progress look like? I don't necessarily know that any of us pictured that loss to the Lions, though, and the way it happened as being a part of this.
Yeah, I mean, I look at drafts, and I'm really focused on Ben Johnson and what he wants, you guys. I mean, this is especially on the offensive side of the ball, like what he wants and what he needs at the moment coming into this situation. Yes, he was there for this past draft, but he also is working with what he has at the moment. And you know, it is his offense. He is a one of one when it comes to his offense, so he can build it around guys. But does he have the athletes to be able to complete the mission for him? That's left to be seen. Hopefully we start to see that come to fruition throughout the season as the season goes on. I'm all about a rough start. Like I planned, I thought it was a rough start, but I also thought there was going to be progress as we went on. And I'm always going by Vegas, right? At the beginning of the season, the win total was 8.5. A lot of people were taking the over. For me, I took the under. And I thought even that, if you're talking about 7-8 wins, that to me was progress from what we saw last season. So baby steps, multiple drafts. I mean, to be true contenders, we're talking a little bit. I don't know if that's 2 drafts, 3 drafts, but to be able to get to what Ben truly wants, that takes time.
Jarrett, it's interesting you bring up building through the draft, because I looked at that, the healthy scratches heading into week 2 with all these guys, second round picks, last year's third round pick, guys who are not contributing right now. And it'd be different if there were world beaters in front of them. But as you saw Sunday, they are not world beaters, at least from what the results say against the teams that they face so far. So what do you think has to happen? And do you trust Ryan Poles going forward?
I mean going forward, you got to be able to, first and foremost, when you talked about some of those guys, let's go. I mean, Colson Loveland, like that's one of the big ones, right? Mm-hmm. He's your first round draft pick. He has to be more implemented into this offense. And listen, Ben Johnson talked about that. Like, he has to find ways to get him more involved. His tight ends, that's on him. I respect him for taking that on and saying that's on me. When it comes to Ryan, we're seeing it right now. Like, to me, the proof's in the pudding, isn't it? Like, he has to find ways. He's the one that's picking the groceries. This is just me being honest. He's picking the groceries. And so when it comes down to it, all eyes are on you. All eyes are on you with the progress that, yeah, your head coach has to be able to coach these players, but you're also, you're a big part of bringing these guys into the organization. And so I think, yeah, pressure is always on because that's his job. It's not, it's, it, you could say, people can say it's a knock on him, whatever. No, it, that is your job, and that's what you're paid to do. And so when things aren't going right, all eyes are going to be focused on him. A lot of them are. So do I have the confidence? I'm patient. I'm patient, but I just don't know how long Bears fans are going to be patient. That's probably the bigger question.
No, I agree with that. I think it's something where we all have to ask ourselves, like, what was the picture you had of improvement for this team? You know, was it based on, I've said it a lot, I know I'm going to say it a lot this season, the 2022 Lions starting 1-6. But what does that mean? What do those six look like? And in my head, I don't know if it necessarily looks like yesterday. It looks like Sunday, or even the game last week where you could have beaten the Vikings and you didn't have that happen. I also wanted to ask you, Jared, about that game for different reasons. You're honored, and you broke the news to us right here on Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score that you were going to be an honorary captain with your family. What was that experience like for you where they honored the 85 team to begin the game?
Unbelievable, Layla. I just got chills down my arm. Shouts out to the McCaskies, man. Love them to death. Keeping us a part of the organization, the family. We love it. We were there. Just the love from all the fans in the stadium, but also, too, just seeing all of my uncles, just talking to them. It was an amazing experience and really, really cool to be a part of. And just the atmosphere, the vibe in that building that night. Like, if they could have walked away with a win that night, man, it would have... Man, things could have been so much different. Like, maybe the atmosphere moving forward going into that Detroit game would have been, and the vibe would have been totally different. But I do have to say something, though, that I was going to say, Layla, before you asked me that question. To me, there is something very interesting about Ben Johnson talking about the practice habits of this football team, and that it's not up to par of what he's looking for. I can't state it enough. Like, I've been in those locker rooms. I've been in with teams that have practiced very, very hard and well in attention to detail, and then some that haven't, where you see, you know, penalties and false starts and just all that stuff. So that's something that I'm going to be watching and listening for guys that are and ladies that are at Hallis Hall that are, you know, asking the questions, the guys like Grody and my girl Caitlin Sharkey, to ask these questions about as we go through the season of how practices are going, because I think we won't even really need to maybe even ask the questions, because I think you'll be able to see the product on the football field.
So how do you think that you mentioned the penalties? How do you think that we're seeing that manifest in games so far?
I mean, it's I mean, the ones I will go back to week one. I mean, the fact is that you're having, especially on the offensive side of the ball, having those pre-snap penalties at the crib, like at your own crib,
right?
You know what I mean? So that it was hard for me to know, okay, that was such a big issue. That was a big problem. And you looked at them, when you have over 100 yards of penalties, it's hard to go into week two going into Detroit with Ben Johnson going back to his old stomping grounds, knowing how loud it was going to be for the Lions kicking off at home after getting beat down out in Green Bay, that like they weren't going to be hype. So that's what led to me saying, like, I think it's going to be hard for them to win week two. Now we go into week three, and you got a Cowboys team that, bruh, I mean, my boy, Russell Wilson, man, had that Walter Payton Man of the Year patch. He threw for 450. Like, I don't know what year it was that I thought it was back at like 8-10 years ago, watching him throw for 450. So there's an opportunity for this Bears team to get back on track against this Cowboys squad. I think a lot of pressure is, as we see week two with Caleb Williams, that he did take the progress. You started to see him have a little more progress and take another little tiny step. I think this is an opportunity for him to truly take a step, because of looking at, if they can block for him and keep that pocket, it's going to give him an opportunity to stay inside that pocket and make some throws. He just has to be accurate, a little bit more accurate, put the ball where it needs to be, give his receivers an opportunity. And if they can establish this a run game, I definitely think it's going to help. And I know Ben Johnson's really trying to figure that out, because he knows within his offense, that's what makes it run.
You on GN Sports tonight?
Yes, man. I was solo last night, man. Shouts out to Caitlin Sharkey and Joshua Friedman, man. They hooked me up with stuff from Pittsburgh because Josh was there, and he didn't even have no goggles. He was acting like a rookie inside of the clubhouse. No goggles.
He had a white polo on, too. Did you? I know you saw that. I was like, is that Josh Friedman?
Thought it was a white t-shirt.
I'm like, is he in a white polo?
No, you can't do that. Yeah. You can't do that at a phone party. Come on.
This ain't spring break. Hey, no. JP, tell him.
Spring break. You can't do that. We got a lot of great content yesterday. We'll be on tonight at 10:30, and Josh will be with me. We'll be breaking it down, talking a little bit more Bears.
Well, teach him how to party in the meantime. Jarrett, you spray to all fields. You're a man for all seasons. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, Jarrett.
Appreciate you guys.
That was Jarrett Payton. The way he really does. He's a man for everybody. He's got knowledge about everything.
He knows what's going on. He always does. And that's why I'm in line with him on the Bears, because right now it's a whole lot of, I guess we'll see.
It's, you know, Miami's ranked fourth in the AP Top 25. At some point, we got to talk to him about his Hurricanes.
I think he doesn't want to get ahead of himself on that.
We have to take a break here. There's not just that Ben Johnson had to say about practice. He also gave us a possible timeline to lead us to ask the question, is this a rebuild? Listen to it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Nice callback, Robbie Triano, Ray Diaz. Nicely done. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Talking Bears, as we have for most of our show, did touch on the Cubs earlier. Of course, if you missed it, we did a best of the post-game celebration segment and also talked about them. To start our show at 10, if you missed it, you can go back and listen on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. And now we go back to more of what was said, and I think a pretty informative press conference availability at Halas Hall. You heard Jarrett Payton refer to it a little bit ago. But Ben Johnson said something where he gave us a timeline. And while it makes sense, it leads us asking a few more questions. So listen to what he said about when he thinks the team is going to play its best football.
There is a familiarity for a lot of guys in the locker room to the way the season has started, right? How do you kind of just keep a pulse on their mental state and keeping them focused on, look, it's a long season ahead. We have time to correct a lot of these things.
Yeah, I think they understand that. It is early in the season. There are a number of teams that have started the season not the way that they would like to, and yet they bounce back and they find a way to win. And we're going to be playing our best football in December. I know that to be certain. We're just in a race right now to get better in a hurry. And the faster we get there, the wins will start coming and we'll be just fine.
So a couple of things for me. Number one, I expect a coach to say that about his offense when he's new to this team and it's in its first year. But number two, knowing that, would you call this season a rebuild even though the Bears are not?
I would not call this a rebuild. Here's why. I would call it a rebuild if you were getting a first-year quarterback and a whole bunch of parts that were brand new. And also, if the team were maybe a little bit younger, because this isn't the youngest group out there in the NFL.
No, they're the 10th oldest.
Exactly. And so knowing that, I have in front of me a team that was supposed to compete for a playoff spot. It just doesn't look like they're anywhere near close to competing for a playoff spot.
There's nuance to this. As you mentioned, they've spent a lot of money on some big contracts with people who are in their best windows of talent, Montez Sweat, for example. They pay Dio Odengbo what they're paying him because they expect him to produce in this window of talent for him. There's other players like DJ Moore, who they had extended, Cole Kmet, who they had extended, Jalen Johnson, those guys. And that's why I agree with you.
TJ Edwards.
I think that it's funny because it kind of goes back to the question about Matt Eberflus, where Caleb professionally answers that time was great. But the bottom line was, we all were asking ourselves last year, what was that year worth? Because in the Bears' theory, according to what they had planned, all they needed was to drop in the quarterback and make it work. But now you're starting to see, based on even that explanation, which I think is not out of the ordinary for us. That's when you would expect a group to come together who's learning a new offense. Ben Johnson says strip it down to the studs. But maybe that's the part in here too. Maybe that's where we should have realized this is going to be a little bit different than what we had expected before. I'm glad, though, that Jarrett said in our last segment that it is Ryan Pace's staff evaluation, that it's his talent that you're seeing. Is he going to try to fit that to the scheme? Yeah. Do I think he's done that so far? Not in an effective way. But you put yourself into a corner. If your draft picks don't hit and you've got really expensive contracts, that makes you commit to these players on the board.
That last part is how we got here, Ryan Poles, and
right.
Then what is the obstacle to keep us from being where we are right this second, and can you pivot? It's hard for them to pivot based on the contracts that they've given out, and that's why you have to let this play out, see how much better the offensive line can get, see if those guys on defense can become what you wanted them to become. Now, they're already behind the eight ball on defense because of the Jalen Johnson news, looking up
T.J.
Terrell
Edwards
Smith,
being injured, who was just extended.
Kyler Gordon. Yeah, so a bunch of parts for that defense that was supposed to take, that was supposed to be a more ready-made situation for Dennis Allen than what's going on offense.
It was supposed to be.
But now the offense is way closer to being able to accomplish anything this season just by virtue of who is available. Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles, they got together. They decided this is what they want to do offense. They were the ones, you could say Poles was the one who made the picks, but Ben Johnson had a heavy influence. Why else would he take a tight end in the first round and then take a wide receiver in the second round?
Yeah, you're seeing positional redundancy, especially when you know they needed a running back and they didn't do so until the seventh.
Right, so Kyle Manangai, who might have to play a more substantial role this week just by virtue of a quad injury to the starter, DeAndre Swift.
Dear God.
And these are the reasons why I'm looking at it as, it's not a rebuild, I wouldn't call it that, but what Ben Johnson said is not untrue. It's just having to actually live it out as opposed to saying, look, the Lions went 1-6. And when you have to live it day to day, week to week, and see how bad it can get, see week two, you have to kind of keep in mind, we knew it wasn't going to be anywhere close to a finished product. Are you willing to absorb the growing pains along the way? Or are you ready to already, after 2 weeks of football, jump ship and say, this can't work?
Or did you put yourself in a rebuild situation because you, once again, didn't get it right? Like, that's the other piece of this. And for whatever you want to say, the first year Ryan Poles was here, he physically said, I'm not calling this a rebuild. Those were the words out of his mouth. So that's why when people are like, oh, look at what he inherited and what happened in his first season. No, he decided to put Byron Pringle on that team. You know, he decided to go for N'Keal Harry and Alex Leatherwood.
He decided to make the
trade, was his decision.
Too.
And he didn't want to call it a rebuild.
And
so, you know, don't revise history yet again if we're in the middle of this and we still don't have a win-loss total that we want. And suddenly it's a rebuild then. I feel like this was specifically talking about when the offense should be better.
The offense is going to be better in December. I don't think it's going to take until December for it to be significantly better than what we've been seeing. That is, of course, if people don't get hurt, because I don't know what the depth looks like on offense either. Actually, I do know what some of those parts look like because I've seen them in
DeAndre
years past.
If DeAndre Swift is not available,
well, then it's Roschon Johnson and Kyle Manangai, right?
Or is it? I mean, the problem is they have to make DeAndre Swift being established in a game plan is what is crucial to the first drive, for example, working and resulting in a touchdown. That is a sobering thought if he's not available this week. But I'm not ready to do that yet. I want to see the updated Thursday injury reports first. We have more coming up here on Raheem Eaton Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. Mark will join us from Halas Hall with quotes from Dennis Allen at 125. And coming up next, it's Danny Parkins. And I want to ask him about some of the national discussion surrounding Caleb Williams this week that we need his voice on.
Ah, those narratives, how they can quickly get away from you.
Yeah, we need Danny to bring in some of the actual, are you watching the games, though? So we'll do that next on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.